Nanda Chakraborty from University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I'm going to present today QTL for soybean yield and agronomic traits in populations derived from exotic lines. So first I'm going to talk about why we are interested in yield and what is a yield QTL, and then I'm going to present very briefly results from previous QTL studies which also used exotic germplasms, and then I'm going to talk about the results that we got from our two mapping populations, and finally some conclusions from our studies. So yield is the primary trait of interest to a soybean farmer and therefore for breeders. And yield QTL is a chromosomal region that affects seed yield without a detectable effect on other agronomic traits such as maturity, height, lodging, or disease resistance. The average rate of yield increase of US soybean is estimated to be 0.023 megagram per hectare per year. And one of the factors that might be responsible for this low rate of yield improvement maybe because of a very narrow genetic base of the crop in US. As we heard from the previous presenter, 90% of the US soybean is derived from only 18 ancestors, and these ancestors might not have possessed all the possible yield improving alleles. So previous yield QTL research, they have identified new yield improving alleles from exotic germplasm. For example, three studies published from the programs of Dr. Randy Nelson and Brian Ears have identified 22 QTL, and out of which 10 were derived exclusively from exotic pedants. And these studies clearly shows the potential of using plant introductions, and therefore additional QTL research using different PIs is needed to find new yield improving alleles. So in our study, we developed two mapping populations, and the population A3 was derived from a cross of Iowa 3023, a maturity group high yielding Iowa cultivar with LG9911620. This is an experimental line, belong to maturity group 4, and this was derived from four different PI lines. Three of these PIs were from China and one from Eastern Europe, Romania. The population consists of 133 F5 derived H6 lines. Our next population, B3, was derived from a cross between U9831442, which is a experimental line, high yielding experimental line from Nebraska with LG008299, which is an experimental line derived from two plant introductions. And both the pedants are from maturity group 3. And one of these PI is from China, but the other PI, we are not sure whether it is from China or Japan. And the population consisted of 149 F5 derived F6 lines. So this shows all the locations in Illinois, Missouri, Ohio, in 2005, 2006, and 2007, where these two populations were evaluated. B3 population was not evaluated in 2007. Each location and year combination was considered as a separate environment. So for A3, we have 7 environments, whereas for B3, we have 6 environments. At each environment, RCVD with two replicates was used, and the genotypes were evaluated in a 4-row plot for traits such as yield, height, maturity, and lodging. This table shows the mean values for A3 for 4 agronomic traits and across multiple locations and 3 years, so 2005 and 2007. So we measured yield as megagram per hectare, plant height was measured in centimeter, lodging score was on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 means erect plants and 5 prostrate, and maturity was noted at the R8 stage of the plant, then 95% or more of the pods were mature. The two pedants, they were not significantly different in yield. And as we can see, the population mean was 3.5 megagram per hectare, whereas the population range was 2.86 to 3.86 megagram per hectare. We did not see any transgressive significance. But if we note at the 5 top highest yielding progeny lines, we can see that they were statistically equivalent to the parent, the high yielding parent, Iowa 3023. They did not out yield, but they were significantly equivalent to it. And if you look at the maturity of the these high yielding lines, we can also see that it is comparable with the domestic perennial within 5 days of 30-23. But these progeny, they were not able to out yield high yielding line from Dr. Brian Deere's program, which is LD003309. We estimated the broad sense heritability on intermean basis, and it was 0.71. For B3, having mean values across locations and 2 years for yield, plant head lodging score, and maturity. Here, the two patients were also not significantly different in yield, and the population mean was 3.81 mg per hectare, and population range was 3.10 to 4.18 mg per hectare. But we did see some transgressive segregance in this population. And if you look at the five top yielding progeny lines, they have defeated the parent, the domestic parent U98. And the top three progeny lines, they are also statistically equivalent in yield to the high yielding line which I mentioned before, LD003309. We calculated the broad sense heritability and it is low, 0.31. And one thing I should mention, that if you look at the high top yielding lines, the maturity of those lines are comparable to the domestic parent and also to the high-yielding LD003309. So we analyzed QTL, and this is the result from the A3 population. So we analyzed across environments in each of the years and also across 3 years. We used MAP QTL, and the p-value was derived from the Kraskal-Wallis analysis, which is a non-parametric ANOVA, and the LOD value was from the interval mapping. We declared QTL which were above LOD 1.5. And these two columns, show us the allelic means for the domestic and the exotic parent. And the positive sign here means that the yield increasing allele, the alleles which increased yield also increased other agronomic traits such as lodging, height, maturity. So in this population, we identified a total of 6 QTLs, and out of which 3 were identified across years. And the yellow highlighted QTLs are where the alleles which improved yield, they were derived from the exotic parents. Some of the alleles from the exotic parents, they boosted yield from 3 to 4% at these QTLs. Some QTLs are specific to particular years and locations, and you can see that the QTL on linkage group O, it appears in 2006, 2007, and also across years. It does not have any association with other agronomic traits other than yield. For B3 population, we found a total of 6 QTLs, and 3 QTLs appeared across years. There were 2 QTLs were again highlighted in yellow. The alleles improving yield were derived from the exotic parent, and it caused a boosting of yield from 1.5 to 3.5%. Some were specific to year, some of the QTLs, whereas A1, the QTL on linkage group A1 appeared in 2005-06 and also across years, and also it does not have any association with other agronomic traits. So we analyzed the QTL by environment interaction, and this was to detect the QTLs which are stable across environments, and we used SAS for that. We used a split plot with the markers as the main plot and the marker by environment interaction as the subplot, and we declared an interaction to be significant if the p-value was less than 0.05, and this is denoted by 1 asterisk. And the interactions which were significant at p less than 0.01 are denoted by 2 asterisks here. And it's very interesting. For the population, A3 population, we identified only 1 QTL by environment interaction. And if you look at the year, it's only significant across years. Whereas for the other population, B3, we identified QTL by environment interaction for all the 6 QTLs that I mentioned before. For A1, the QTL at A1, it was significant in 2006, not significant in 2006 across years, but only significant in 2005. And we think that this is because in the B3 population, we identified weak QTLs, or we did not detect QTLs in certain locations. And also the significance of the QTL, it varied across environments. So therefore, we are seeing so much interaction. Then diagenic epistasis was also calculated by using all the pairs of the loci, and use the program epistasis. And this was for both the populations. And we used used all the data across the environments and years, and a two-locus model, two-locus ANOVA was used in the epistasis program. And we did not find any epistatic interaction in B3, but we did find one in A3 between two markers, which were both located on linkage group AM, and they were approximately 40 centimorgans apart. And this interaction explained almost 26% of the total phenotypic variance. And this negative sign of additive biarity, they say, it means that highest yield resulted in allelic pairs when the parents contributed one allele, each of the parents contributed an allele. So we know that there are three kinds of epistatic interaction: QTL by QTL, QTL by a background loci, that there is no additive effect in the loci. And the third kind is interaction between two complementary loci. There's two loci that they have only the epistatic interaction, and the interaction which we detected in A3 appears to be in the third type, which I explained. And this is kind of a busy slide, and just to simplify it, here I'm trying to compare the position of the QTL that we detected in our two mapping populations, A3 and B3, with the QTLs that have been previously detected from these three studies, from Dr. Annie Nelson and Brian Beer's program. And the star indicates the location of QTL for agronomic traits such as maturity, height, and lodging. And the two circles, they are represent QTLs from previous studies, these three studies, whereas the rectangles are from A3 and B3 populations. The yellow color depicts the QTLs where the allele improving yield were from the exotic parents, whereas the red represents alleles from the domestic parent. Now I want to just summarize here what we got. So out of the 12 QTLs that we have detected from the two mapping populations, we found that only two QTLs have not been reported before. And out of the 12, we found 5 where the yield improving alleles are from the exotic parents. And out of those 5, 2 were not related or associated with any other agronomic traits other than yield. I would like to point out an interesting result on linkage group C1. We got this QTL from B3, and this was 60 centimorgan, approximately 60 centimorgan away from the QTL which was reported by Guzman et al. And also you can see that this is not associated with any other trait. We found two instances where on linkage group A1 and E, where we saw that the two QTLs, they co-localized, they mapped at the same region. But as you can see, one was from our B3 population, and it was from exotic parents. But also, this was very close to another QTL which was detected by Kabelka et al. And the alleles which improved yield came from the domestic parent. And also, we found similar things in E, on linkage with E. And this provides evidence that the alleles improving yield that we are detecting from the exotic parents might have been present in some of the cultivars, that is the elite soybean germplasm pool. So conclusion, so the A3 population, we detected a total of 6 yield QTLs, and for the 3 QTL, the exotic alleles increased yield. They were all within 20 centimorgan of previously reported QTL. We did find one epistatic interaction across environments and years, and one QTL by environment interaction. For the B3 population, we found 6 QTLs, and for 2 QTL, the exotic allele increased yield. And QTL on C1, as I showed on the previous slide, it was at least 60 centimorgan from previously reported QTL and no detected effect on agronomic traits. We did not find any epistatic interaction, but we did see significant QTL by involvement interaction based on all the QTLs. So what can we do now with the result? So we did identify some of the progeny lines in both the populations which either significantly equivalent to the domestic parent or they superseded the domestic parent. And these can be used in the future for preliminary soybean yield trials. We did see that it was really difficult to detect QTL with favorable exotic alleles. As I mentioned, out of 12 QTLs that we have detected, only five were the alleles in five of them were from the exotic parents, and only two of them were not previously reported. And QTLs can often be associated with agronomic traits other than yield. So currently what we are doing is we're trying to develop populations so that we can confirm these QTLs and so that we can justify their use in marker-assisted selection to improve yield in other backgrounds, elite backgrounds. And that is it for my presentation. I would like to thank the contributors and collaborators, Dr. Prova Shannon, Rauf Niang, and Ellen Leroy, who have evaluated our populations in different locations. And with that, I thank you.